Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Zachary Skadden coming to you live from North Carolina. And today is a day of refreshing as we continue to find ourselves in a place of peace and rest in this wilderness season, in this month of April, as we focus on not only what the Lord is doing in this season, but preparing our hearts for what's to come in the next season and the battle ahead. And today, just taking another look at what the evening watch is for. I've talked about it before, about how it's this time to lay down our anxieties and our worries of the day and the battles we've gone through. It's time for a watch for refreshing, as I titled it today. And the passage of scripture I'm pointing to today is in 1 Samuel 14. And it's really the entire chapter, but I want to highlight a portion of it that gives us this understanding of why the evening watch is that refreshing watch for us throughout the day. And as we go through, as you go through scripture and you read the story of 1 Samuel 14, it deals with Jonathan's victory in the camp of the Philistines, with him and his armor bearer, of going out, having the favor of the Lord in their battles. And then Saul, because he's unaware that Jonathan and his armor bearer have gone out and were the ones to start this victory, comes back and trying to figure out, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do this? And then in verse 20, how are we going to figure out who it is? Then in verse 24, he calls on the men of Israel who had fought a battle and won the battle because the Lord was with them. Now the men of Israel were hard-pressed on that day, for Saul had put the people under oath, saying, "Cursed be the man who eats food before evening." And again, that's for evening. "And until I have avenged myself on my enemies." So none of the people tasted food. And then the rest of Samuel goes on to tell about how Jonathan was unaware of this. And when he came back from the battle, dipped his staff in honey, ate some honey, was unaware. The people were nervous for him, but ultimately he found favor. And was able to refresh him. But the point is the fast until evening. They were supposed to fast until evening. And Chuck points out that, and most stories and scriptures on fast point out that it was customary to break fasts in the evening. So you've gone through the day, you've warred, you prevented yourself from a luxury of food and being able to eat there. And then so the prayer point there off of that in the evening watch is to ask the Lord to refresh you from the wars of the day so that you can be fresh for the next day and the next battle. And that's the season where we're in, of laying down those wars from the past day, laying down the anxieties, letting them go, whether we've succeeded, not succeeded, accomplished, not accomplished, what we may think is right in our eyes or wrong in our eyes. Just lay that down. Ask the Lord to refresh us, repent, the blood of the Christ to cleanse us and be refreshed going in to this new season with a sense of hope rather than a sense of fear that is trying to come across, not only from even those who were on our side, but against us in the natural and the spiritual as well. Now, with all that being said, there's still a lot of things happening throughout the news. And so I want to give a perspective, but as we go into the weekend, of why it's crucial to not only now, pray for our leaders, but for the future. And I've been talking about this whole issue with Title 42 and praying for our leaders to uphold the laws that are already on the books. But we really need to pray that in this season where these policies are being played out in the matter of an instance, of a complete difference from somebody who wants to uphold the laws versus somebody who wants to find any way possible to go around and curtail the laws. And it's not just one individual. It's a whole body of people in leadership. And look, party affiliation does not matter. And there are those who have a certain party affiliation who we may disagree with that can do righteous things. And there are those who we may agree with who may do unrighteous things. And that's kind of what Todd Tron pointed out a couple weeks ago. Look, we need to deal with the things within our midst, the church, more importantly, and then not worry about, and then start worrying about what's outside of that. And again, no revival, no turning of this nation is going to happen without a repentance and turning back to the heart of the Father. We can try to put the best leader in place, but unless we're going to ourselves repent of our sins and get in right alignment and deal with the church, the body of Christ, deal with its issues. There's a host of them. And all sin and fall short of the glory of God. It's not about that. It's about okay, you've made a mistake. You've fallen down. It's about, do you get yourself back up and you be an overcomer and you walk out that relationship with the Lord? And so we dive into the news here and praying for and keeping a watchful eye with what's happening in Israel. As yesterday, we see another terror attack in Tel Aviv in a very, very popular area in Tel Aviv. On a Thursday night where two were killed and 12 were wounded. And I think I saw a story, this story doesn't tell it, where the security forces in Israel found the terrorists and ultimately ended their life, is the best way to say it. So we see these attacks rise, and I point this out to see what's going on in the natural. You know, we talked about how with the whole BLM and all that stuff, you see this rise of when a death occurs of a praising and Hamas and other terrorist organizations were praising this. They know nobody ever claimed that they did it, but they were praising it. And so this is where things lie out right now. Things are heating up with Israel, as you're seeing, even in Syria, U.S. forces got attacked by Iranian forces, back forces. So there's this spirit of Amalek rising in the world. And our administration, again, is still negotiating the Iran nuclear deal. This is why I bring this up, is because at the time of where these nations are supposed to be negotiating for peace, there's still attacks being laid out. Concerns for why we want to pray for our administration to have wisdom and fear of the Lord to not go back into these agreements, which will only last for another couple years and have been disastrous from the very beginning. Excuse me. So then we see this now on a little bit on the U.S. involving relationships with Russia. Is yesterday the Senate voted 100-0, but every senator voted to limit trade with Russia. And, you know, as a patriot, as American, yeah, that seems right. Yeah, we got to stop Russia from increasing its GDP and making money off of the sale of oil and coal and other goods. But that's bringing about disaster. And some representatives in the House actually point out, six of them, more of your libertarian Republicans, the new wave of Republicans that recently got in who voted against this. And they're being claimed as, well, they're being pro-Putin. Well, they bring up some legitimate reasons as to why not voting stuff like this forward, because there are things within the bill not just the vote itself. It's things within the bill that could potentially cause harm and giving more power over to the international criminal courts, which Russia does not care about. Yesterday, the UN voted to suspend Russia from the human rights body, and then Moscow and Russia basically just quit. The UN Human Rights Council is showing that the UN is a completely useless body. Why we give any money to them, and any nation give money to them to do anything, it's completely useless. Why would Russia be there in the first place? Why has China been otherwise? Why has Venezuela been? There's all these nations that have complete concerns with humanitarian issues that are on the Human Rights Council. I think it just showed the absolute just hysteria behind it all. Then on top of that, for the vote, which I ended up being like, I want to get these numbers right. Votes 93 in favor, while 24 countries voted no, and 58 countries abstained of the 193 member General Assembly Council. And Russia warned, and talked about this before, about how Russia will deem those who are unfriendly and make them pay in rubles for any goods that they trade with Russia. And again, they came out and threatened states with consequences over the UN vote on the Human Rights Council, which they left. It's very interesting. They left, but we're going to punish you for how you acted. So this is where Russia's playing out things. And I say this story because is we look at these decisions that are being made. I have to ask ourselves, is this the right decision? Because what we're doing is we're forcing Russia to, number one, figure it out on their own. And what I mean by that is Russia will go to wherever they can make money. Like they're going to have to eat. They're going to have to make their own money. And what they're doing now is they are selling their oil and coal to China. And some of these deals are being made in yuan, some in rubles. And there were deals made in March that are finally starting to show fruition in China that Russian crude and steel or coal for steel in China has been sold and will be sold. And this report from Bloomberg also points out that Russia is the number two coal importer for China. So they're only going to start strengthening their relationship there, which is very interesting. So we can say, yeah, we're crushing Russia. These sanctions and stuff are working. It may, and it is really doing that for the short term, to the extent of there's expectations that the GDP in Russia will shrink and is already expected to shrink 15% this year, which is a huge knock for them. But what we're seeing now is Putin and the financial central banks in Russia have put on government controls that have stabilized their currency, as you're seeing here, as Russia's ruble has bounced back to pre-invasion levels. And what this is going to do, and what this does is it prevents, they've put policies in place that prevent Russians from pulling assets and money out of ruble and transferring it to other foreign asset accounts with out of Russia. And it's going to start forcing Russians to invest in Russia, invest in the ruble, invest in making their country, their products increase in value, because they're not going to be able to go anywhere else. Okay, we're putting all these sanctions on the oligarchs and all these people and anybody who's Russian. We're hurting the Russian people. And yeah, it hurts them and it helps us. Maybe they'll do the right thing. No, they're going to China. They've already gone to China. They're going to Iran. They're going to United Arab Emirates. They're going to all these other countries. And then you have leaders who are continuing, yes, let's do this. Let's punish ourselves. And look, there were decisions made 8, 9, 10, 6 years ago in the past that are leading to why these things are happening right now. And I point this out because this is why we need to pray for our leaders right now in this era, is to help guide us through this time right now and understanding the decisions that are being made. Because there are things that are currently happening that are problems in the short term and long term if we go down this road. So that's why we want to intercede for this administration, to have the fear of the Lord and listen to the Holy Spirit when dealing with Russia, Ukraine, Israel, and China. Because there may be people who are in the position now making these decisions who can be removed, and you can have the people behind them get up, healed, delivered, have this fear of the Lord, be able to make these proper decisions even during this presidency. Can't ignore that possibility. But I also want to play this clip because this goes in line with making sure our leaders, praying for our leaders and why we pray for them, because there are people on the Democratic side and Republican side who are saying a lot of things, but they're not really doing a lot. And so I want to play this clip from an interview with Steve Scalise that talked about how these politicians who are in right standing with against the ending of the Title 42, because there are, I've talked about how this possibly could be a false flag operation, could be useless because the Biden administration is literally telling people how to get around these laws, giving them phones and stuff like that to help. I think it's a test to learn how to monitor and watch us with the infrastructure that they put in place. But I digress. But in the short term, this is going to be the right move to help prevent for the alarming numbers that are coming to our border. So I want to play this.
In Republican House Minority Whip Steve Scalise, great to have you here, Congressman, and great to see you. First off, just your
I'm going to increase the speed on this.
The plan to keep track of, first of all, those migrants as they come in, give them a cell phone, depend on the honor system. I mean, even Jen Psaki was asked about it in the briefing room. What happens if they just throw it away? No answer to that, but your response.
Yes, Sandra, good to be with you. This is an alarming crisis that is going to get worse, and everybody knows it. You know, look, they're estimating over 500,000 people a month.
If that's even close, 500,000 a month. We're talking about a couple months ago, 8,000. Now you're talking about 500,000 coming that are getting that 8,000 got through. 500,000 that are going to come, and what happens then? You're going to release them now because you can't send them back because of COVID and Title 42 and whatever? You're not upholding Remain in Mexico. And a lot of these things that are happening are to gear up for the midterm, to force people to make decisions, to show where they stand. And he gets to that here in a second.
Will be coming across illegally once they drop Title 42 next month. And think about this. This is a tool that Border Patrol agents use to help secure the border. And it's one more tool that Joe Biden is taking away because he wants an open border. We have a bill, by the way, to solve this problem. It's a bill by Yvette Harold, Chip Roy, as a discharge petition. If just five Democrats sign on to this discharge petition, we will get this bill brought up to the floor. So anybody that's anywhere in America, call your member of Congress and say, sign the discharge petition to bring back Title 42 to stop this crisis from happening.
And that's key, because this is how you keep balance. From what the Biden administration is trying to do of making sure that if you are in an area where your representative is a Democrat and will most likely not sign for this, they need to not just say something. If they're saying, hey, we support this. Yes, this is a good idea. We need to not end Title 42. The problem is, he points out here, they need to sign, and he'll make that clear here in a second.
You know, the five, we can put them up on the screen. These are the Democrats who are supporting the bill to not lift Title 40, basically citing the implications of it and the surge of potential migrants that we would see as a result of it.
Both representatives from Arizona, senators, they need to sign on to this.
They're on the screen. Are you getting word there's any more, Congressman?
Well, the problem, Sandra, is we don't need their support. We need their signature because they're saying they're for it, but they won't actually take the steps to bring the bill up. And in the end, until you bring the bill up, it doesn't happen. And so they're saying the right things, but then they won't actually follow it up with action on the House floor. So the question to ask them, have they signed Chip Roy's discharge petition? If they haven't, then they're for an open border. It's that simple.
And that's the point. We're to the point where now we're coming towards the midterm elections. There's positionings being made. Now you're going to put people on record for where do you stand. So when you go back to your constituents and say, well, yeah, we want to help support the border, we want security, yada yada yada, well, here you had your chance. Why didn't you do anything? So short term, this is a good thing. We'll see if it plays out in the long run. I somewhat disagree. And then he also later on in this interview talks about, I mentioned it last week, and I'm reading through some things on the oil and gas CEOs, leaders who came to basically get grilled by Democratic lawmakers. And Steve Scalise, who was in that hearing, pointed out some things that he shows. Oh, well, Paskey, you know, the Biden administration saying, well, there's so many leases already out there. They're not doing anything with. But I want to listen to this because this is somebody who gives an opposing view about what actually is happening to those companies and talks about, gives examples of Americans and the American economy, oil and gas industry can help supply all these countries in Europe who are shunning Russia and forcing Russia to go to China, who need energy right now, of how America could be filling in the gap, not just with the Keystone Pipeline.
Finally, I just want to get your thoughts on where things stand on not just our energy crisis, but the energy crisis here at home and abroad as a result of this war.
Let me bring this up.
Beyond. There's obviously serious implications for Europe as they see this energy squeeze. But here at home, we saw prices going up long before Putin's invasion of Ukraine.
Again, and very specifically, that's there are federal
looked at as a reason why we continue to see these prices go up and limit the supply of energy in this country.
So these are a few things that have already the Biden administration has put in place and that are limiting our production of oil. New EPA oil and gas rules, restricting impeding energy projects, which they have been, not selling oil and gas leases, which is part of that. Talks of rejoining the Paris Climate Agreement, stifling energy innovation, and new policies on carbon taxes. All doing things to push this Green New Deal agenda that they can't get past through Congress.
Putting them on the screen, there was a hearing yesterday in Washington, Congress, and it's almost hard to believe some of these members of the Energy Subcommittee, the way they think about how prices should come down, they're putting a lot of the blame on the big oil companies. Do you blame them for high gas prices?
You know, Sandra, I participated in that hearing, and in fact, I went and showed all of the mountains of regulations that Joe Biden has added that makes it almost impossible to produce energy in America right now. You can't get new leases. You can't even pursue
and that's
an
key.
Lease that you're paying millions of dollars for, because I listed 9 different federal agencies that Biden has put between the oil companies and the oil in the ground.
Think about that. They're saying, well, all these oil and gas leases, but then here coming to find out there's upwards of 9 agencies that alphabet soup, who would have thought, that are preventing oil and gas from being produced out of the ground.
So that you can't get it out. And it's very clear what's going on. Joe Biden is a candidate, just remember this, said on a televised debate that he wanted to stop the ability to produce.
And here's the thing is it, I'm not just saying this and showing this just to point out how bad Joe Biden is. It's to say, look, all of our leaders, Republican, Democrat, everybody needs to take heed and see what's happening. The very decisions that they're making from day one of the presidency are causing harm to everyday Americans' pockets. And they need to take an objective assessment of that and then decide how to move forward. Do they want to go down this road of continued inflation and continued destruction of the dollar and economy? Or do they want to, okay, let's take heed. If I say I'm a politician, I'm a leader, I'm here to serve the people, what is going to be best to help serve the people that I am called to serve?
Well, in America, he said that. Then he carried it out, killing Keystone, killing all of these projects, and the price of oil started going up immediately, long before Putin invaded Ukraine. People get this. They already know it was Joe Biden's policies that led to this massive increase in prices at the pump and a higher reliance on Russian oil. He approved the Nord Stream pipeline so that Russia could send more oil to Europe, making Europe more addicted to Putin's oil.
That's very key. And even before Ukraine kicked off, Ted Cruz was trying to get legislation passed to ban and put sanctions on the finishing of the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. And Democrats refused. Biden refused. And yet here we are.
Reverse this. Stop talking to dictators, whether it's Iran, Venezuela, Russia. Stop talking to them and produce oil in America.
Congress, final thought to you. Does Louisiana?
This is huge. Listen to this.
And energy that we have in this country right now that is leading to these high prices.
We absolutely do. And, you know, you can go to Fort Fouchon in South Louisiana, the hub of all the deep water drilling. There are massive reserves in the Gulf of Mexico. And Biden was supposed to go forward with a lease sale in the Gulf of Mexico, some environmental
that right there.
Screen, and so he didn't go forward with the sale. There's all kinds. They produce 100,000 barrels of oil a day from every single well in the Gulf of Mexico. And there's a lot more of that can be produced. You can completely get rid of Russian oil and use American energy and lower the cost of gasoline at the pump. And by the way, it's cleaner than anywhere else in the world.
And that's huge. And that's the same type of policies that the Obama administration did. They prevented American companies from drilling in the Gulf of Mexico and allowed Venezuela and other countries to be able to drill in the Gulf of Mexico so that we as Americans aren't producing for whatever reason. So I point this out to say that our leaders now need to take heed and see the fruits of the these decisions that are made now, and praying for future leaders to have the fear of the Lord, the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, to know what decisions to make to help this nation. And ultimately, look, we have to repent. We have to deal with our issues first. And then this next story that came out, something we really need to pray for, not only for our leaders, but in the church, because there are church leaders and denominations and church standing with this type of stuff of how there's a law out of Alabama, like the law out of Florida, to protect children and more so the parents' rights to know what is being taught within schools, where Paskey said from the White House press briefing yesterday that these lawmakers have been put on notice by the DOJ that if they go forward with this, that they are deemed breaking the law, being unconstitutional for protecting innocent children from the potential harm of them being allowed to castrate themselves and take puberty blockers, which there are studies that show that majority of kids who have these thoughts as younger end up growing out of it, because it's not really their thoughts. It's being perpetrated by groomers. And so I point this out because this is something we need to pray about, because not only is this in the administration, this is in the church. And so we need to deal with this in the church, repent of it, decide what we want to do moving forward, because this is you're walking on far-reaching ground of parental rights here, of protecting the innocence of children. I mean, there's just a host of issues involved in all of this. So something we want to pray about here and be watchful for as this administration pushes for this stuff against the well-being of the innocence of children. And then also a federal court, appeals court out of Louisiana, repealed the ban on federal employees being forced to be vaccinated because supposedly the judge didn't have jurisdiction. And it's going to be appealed. It'll most likely go up to the Supreme Court to decide whether the Biden administration has the authority to implement these rulings and trying to force federal employees to take the vaccine. And this is about government overreach. Now, we saw with the previous case that on healthcare workers, you get funding from the government that they have to. So if you're going to follow that line, it's going to tell you, hey, don't take government funding. Again, there are tons of businesses, churches, and everybody out there anywhere in between who took money from the government. So now the potential thought is that, okay, if a church or any other organization has taken money from the federal government, can the federal government come back and force you to do what they say? Because now you're technically considered a government entity. I'm not saying that will happen. I'm saying that is a very high possibility that could happen. So something to watch out for. And know that we did not take any funding from the government. Other instances, there was opportunity to take money, and something inside of me said, nope, nope, nope. And then the church as well did not, because it's the possibility of this, of if you take money from somebody, you now become their employee and they can tell you what to do, and possibly seeing that in this instance as well. And then I want to end on a very, very, very good note of we've prayed about these brave heart spirits in this that are going to be needed in this season and the season ahead. And if you heard this story, you've probably seen this of the New Jersey gym owner who fought and defied COVID lockdowns and was fined thousands of dollars a day, had legal fees shut down, water shut down, power shut down, ended up not taking money from anybody as far as charging them, but wanted to open their gym and allow people to work out, and they were fined for this. the city that they were in, of Belmar, New Jersey, fought them. But then after 2 years, the local municipality dropped the charges against them and restored, well, dropped some of the charges. They ultimately just restored their business license because they took that away from them for wanting people to exercise and take care of themselves during COVID. And they were able to, I want to point this out, they were able to survive off of donations. They didn't take any membership fees during this period, but because people donated, helped them through this season, they were able to survive and they're winning. And the key thing is I forget the gentleman's name, but the owner, one of the owners, is running for Congress in New Jersey in February. So they said, enough's enough. We're dealing with this craziness. And he's gained a platform. He's gained notoriety. And look, from what I understand from him, he's more middle ground, but he's like, this is insanity. This type of stuff, this government overreach has to end and it has to stop. And so we want to continue to pray for people like this, these brave hearts, now and in the season ahead, and intercede for current and future leaders to arise, who have the fear of the Lord and use wisdom and revelation from the Holy Spirit to guide them in the decisions that they're making. Because now is the time to see an extreme difference between those who are making not only just biblical moral decisions as leaders, but decisions that are in the best interest of everyday Americans for freedom. And not pushing certain ideologies that are harmful to children, as the Biden administration is now pushing for and actively going after individuals who they think, in their eyes, not legally binding, in their eyes, is breaking the law. That's very alarming. That's not necessarily for them to decide. It has to play out in the courts, and they might likely well play it out in the courts because it's a toss-up at that point by how the judicial system is operating right now. But I want to close out on that victory because that's huge. When you stand up, you fight back, you have a backbone and say, no, there's nothing that says you have the authority to do this. And eventually the township gave up and restored their rights because they had a brave heart spirit. And kudos on this gentleman for standing up and saying, you know what, enough's enough. It's time for me to get involved. It's time for me to do my duty as a patriot and be a leader and a brave heart in this season and in the future to allow freedom to reign, get back to some sense of righteousness in this nation, allow people to make decisions for themselves. And that's what he's standing for. So thank you to everyone for following along today. Let's continue to be mindful of this season of refreshing. Look at those things that are causing us to be distracted. Look at those things that are causing us to war. Lay down those worries. Lay down those things that might be preventing us from getting into that place of peace with the Lord. And as we enter into Shabbat and head into Passover next week, we want to be mindful season for what's to come. Be refreshed now. We have spent some time with friends, family this weekend so we could come back refreshed for the battle ahead. Blessings, and I will see you guys later. Have a good one.